Welcome to IPR Studio A. I'm Kate Botello. Interlochen's College of Creative Arts Early Music Workshop is currently in full swing with a concert coming up on Saturday, June 9th. Here with me today are two special guests. Workshop director Mark Sudek is chair of the Early Music Department at the Peabody Institute, and he's been teaching early music for 45 years. This is his last year with the Early Music Workshop. Oboist Sarah Hoobsch, doctor of music and director of outreach for Forgotten Clefs, a Renaissance band, has performed early music all over the world. And we'll be seeing a lot more of Sarah in the future as she'll be taking over the program for Mark. Mark and Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Nice to be here.
Happy to be here.
Mark, 45 years is a long time in early music. Can you tell us?
Still got a few of my original teeth.
Can you tell us about your involvement specifically with the Interlochen early
music
program?
Sure. I started on the faculty in 1974 as one of the guitar instructors. And cycled through a few summers and became the head of the guitar department. And while I was here, I transformed myself. I started playing less and less guitar and more Renaissance lute. And then eventually went back to grad school and did a master's degree at Peabody in lute. And then at Interlochen, I started playing faculty recitals on the lute instead of the guitar. And the long story short, I started an elective class called Shakespeare's Music. And it got pretty popular.
And it got popular with Sarah, specifically, didn't it, Sarah?
That's right. I first met Mark in the early 2000s as a high school student taking his class in that program. And I know a lot of my colleagues in early music also took that class. And Mark's been a big formative part of all of our development as early musicians.
Now, we're going to be hearing music today for recorder, for cittern, for baroque guitar. Now, the cittern, by the way, in case you're wondering, it's like a flat-backed lute, and we'll be asking you, I'll ask you about your instruments in just a little bit. But first, let's hear what they sound like.
Okay.
What are we going to hear first?
I'm
going to
play two very short pieces. The first is, they're both anonymous. The first is from a Scottish manuscript, and it's called Sweet Smiling Katie Loves Me. Believe it or not.
Apropos.
And the second piece is from a Dancing Master collection, the English Dancing Master by John Playford. He collected dance tunes, and this is called Cuckolds All in a Row.
Voila! Your cittern is a beautiful instrument, Mark. Can you tell us about it?
Well, it's a Renaissance cittern. I know a lot of Irish bands use an instrument that is called a cittern, but it's kind of like an octave mandolin or a bouzouki. tuned in fifths, but this instrument is a much smaller, a more delicate instrument with a very unusual tuning. It's re-entrant, meaning the lowest string is not on the end. So from the bass to the treble, there's a descending major third, and then an ascending perfect fifth, and then an ascending whole step or major second. So it's a very unusual tuning. And the strings are wire, as you can probably hear, like a banjo. They're actually the same kind of strings used on a harpsichord.
Now, your cittern, again, is very beautiful. How old is that? How long have you
had it?
This
is a modern instrument. It was made in the early 1980s by a maker in Boston, Christopher Stetson, who had to retire from the cittern making business.
Okay.
There aren't many cittern players in the country.
Well, thank goodness you're here and you're trying to teach more.
Yeah.
As we speak. We're going to hear some recorder music next from Sarah. Sarah, the recorder, now this is a pretty simple instrument, but it can actually do a lot.
That's right. The recorder we think of today as a student, mainly for pedagogical purposes, but in the Renaissance and the Baroque eras, the recorder was one of the predominant solo instruments of the time, known for playing lots of really rapid melodic passages, as well as being played in families of consorts of both like instruments, many recorders together, or sometimes, especially in the theater and in England, in a broken consort with other instruments.
What are we going to hear from your recorder today?
We're going to hear a piece by Van Eyck called The English Nightingale.
Virtuoso recorder. It's interesting to hear how much a recorder can actually do. It's such a simple instrument.
Yeah, that's right. But sometimes the simpler the instrument, the more complex the music can be for it. And what Van Eyck does here, which is really common at the time, is he takes a really simple theme and then makes it more and more complex. And the way he's writing this music was really reflecting the tradition of improvisation that was also happening at the same time. So some of you might know this piece, and you might know that I also didn't play what was on the page, and there's some things that I was adding to make it sound more bird-like.
Like what? Can you give me an example?
So for example, sometimes I would add a little chirp. A lot of composers have done that, so I just am stealing from them. And another thing that I did is this kind of flutter tongue technique where you, with your tongue, so the note by itself, or you can flutter your tongue. It sort of interrupts the sound in a way that's a little bit different than a trill. So I think that's a fun technique to employ very occasionally in this kind of piece to sound more like a bird.
Now, what is it for, and I'm sure you'll have a different answer, each of you, but what is it about early music that makes you really devote so much of your lives to it? Mark?
Well, I like a lot of things about early music. One of them is that there wasn't, in the 16th and 17th centuries, which is primarily the music that I play is from, there wasn't a huge dichotomy between art music and popular music like there is today. And composers like Van Eyck and English composers like William Byrd took popular songs, ballad tunes, and turned them into art music. But you never lose track of the original ballad tune in it. It's not really buried. You can always feel that kind of earthiness to it. You know, some of the poetry of the day is just really, really fun and, you know, would be censored. You know, I couldn't give translations of everything on the radio station. So there's a lot of interest there.
What about you, Sarah? What speaks to you?
Yeah,
about
and
this?
In addition to that riff between popular and I guess art music styles, I think also now we have such a discrepancy between professional and amateur musicians. And one of the things I really love about the early music movement now, and also about music really before the founding of the Paris Conservatory at the end of the 19th century, is that we don't see such a separation between professional and amateur musicians. And it would be really common for you in this time before cat videos on YouTube to have everybody pull out their chest of vials or their case of recorders and get out music and play the music. And even as late as 1900, piano forehands arrangements of symphonies were really popular. And before you went to the symphony, you couldn't just pop in a CD. You had to really viscerally know that music if you wanted to get the most out of that concert. So I think playing early music and connecting to the early music movement helps us get closer to those roots of classical music that I think are so powerful in any genre.
We're going to hear another piece of music. Now, this one is for Baroque guitar.
Well, no, I'm just using the Baroque guitar to accompany Sarah because it's I think, a fuller sound and a better blend with the recorder than the wire strings of the cittern. This has basically nylon strings, like a classical guitar would have, although it's a very ornate instrument, and the strings are much lower tension than on a modern guitar. It has five courses of strings as opposed to six individual strings. So one individual top string and then four pairs tuned to either octaves or unisons. So the lowest note, if for the guitarists in your audience, the lowest note on this instrument is a D. So it's a seventh higher than a classical guitar with a low E.
Okay. Let's hear this Baroque guitar behind the recorder. What is this piece that we are going to hear now?
It's Ricercar Segunda by Diego Ortiz, 16th century composer. Thank you.
you. Oh, delightful. Mark Studek and Sarah Hoopsch, thank you for performing that music for us today.
A pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us about this concert coming up on Saturday for the Early Music Workshop.
Yes, on Saturday at 11 o'clock in the chapel, a beautiful location for any performance, lovely acoustic, a very intimate setting. We have our, this is, I believe, the 14th annual Early Music Workshop. And we have a group, a large group this summer, 12 musicians. They're all wind players. They all play recorders. Many of them play other wind instruments as well. But four of them also play viola da gamba. So we actually have that chest of viols that Sarah referred to. A treble, two tenors, and one bass viol. One plays the lute, and one plays the cittern very well, that I just played a little earlier. And am I missing anything?
And we're hoping that some of our brave students, they were so quick at learning the pavane last night in our dance class that we're hoping to show you in the audience, if you come, what a Renaissance pavane would have looked like with live accompaniment.
Saturday at 11 o'clock in the Dendrinos. Thank you
Thanks,
both.
Thanks, Kate.